In 1983, AIDS was a brand new term. Just the name alone brought about incredible fear among folks living in New York City, because people were suddenly dying in large numbers, and the medical community still didn't know how it was being carried or all the ways that it could be spread. I worked as a student chaplain that summer of 1983 at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. And the AIDS patients that we had on our floors were kept in isolation rooms for their and the staff's protection. And outside of their rooms was a dressing area with all kinds of warning signs and protective gear, everything covered in plastic going in and out of the patient's room. And before you could enter the patient's room yourself, you had to put on protective headgear, a mask, a bodysuit, booties, and rubber gloves. And people were really scared because they didn't know what was really happening, especially those of us who were there to provide medical and spiritual care to these folks. The unknown of this disease was so terrifying that it took me a long time to overcome my own personal fears to be able to walk into that first AIDS patient room and stand even at a distance from them to see if I could be of comfort and offer prayers, hoping that my true feelings of fear would not show through. I think that gets kind of close to the fear that people must have felt and experienced when they heard the word leper back in the times of Jesus. And like AIDS, leprosy was a horribly disfiguring disease, leaving the person not only physically sick, but also making them emotionally and spiritually sick because they were completely unwanted in their society, cut off from everyone. As many of you know, Mother Teresa, one of the saints of this century who worked with lepers throughout her career in Calcutta, spoke of this when she said, "We have drugs for people with diseases like leprosy, but these drugs do not treat the main problem, the disease of being unwanted." So how does this apply to us? What does the story that we've learned from Jesus have to do with our story today? Well, leprosy is an interesting disease because it represents a person who knows the truth but doesn't live out of it. The body knows the truth, but it does not live out of it. And here's what I mean by that. It represents someone who knowingly falsifies the truth that their body is experiencing to them. It's represented this because the nature of leprosy is such that the body falsifies its own sense of experience. Leprosy, you see, is a breakdown of the nervous system. The nerve endings cease to send signals of pain, and the body is damaged by actions as simple as wearing cramped shoes or grasping a splintered rake. Pressure sores form from lying in a bed for too long in the same way without even feeling them. Infections then set in, and no pain signal alerts the person to tend to the wounded area. The truth is that there is damage being done to the body, but because the nervous system can no longer convey the truth of that, of its physical circumstances to the brain, then the body, in a sense, lying to itself, and in so doing begins to disintegrate. And disintegrate is exactly what falsifying truth is. It's a process of disintegration, of disinformation. When the truth is no longer integrated correctly into one's life, things begin to fall apart and damage begins to set in. Leprosy represents a falsification of what we know to be true, which means we still have the truth on the inside, but we don't act on it on the outside. We don't live according to the experiences that we're having, so to speak. And it makes me realize how easy it is to become leprous in a spiritual sense, how easy it is to contact leprosy of the heart and even of the brain. And I think this is why conspiracy theories are so rampant in today's body politic, and they are not helpful to the body politic at this time at all. So I would encourage you not to spread them. As Jesus' disciples, we are called to reach out beyond our fear, to follow Jesus out to the fringes of where life is lived and where people really are and suffer. But notice this, the text that we have for today out of Luke chapter 17 says that Jesus healed the 10 lepers, and it says he did it from a distance. When we are asked to separate in order to stop the spread of the current coronavirus, we can reach out and touch one another without actually having to physically do so. We are doing it already on Facebook. I see people posting, and it's wonderful. We do it when we Zoom our meetings with one another as a session and as deacons, or as family members. We can FaceTime with our phones and our computers. We can post on Instagram or any other social media platform that you like. through this pandemic. But most of all, we who are staying in to protect others as well as ourselves can still help those out there on the front lines. Because it is our job, the job of all of us, to be praying and lifting up those who are on the front lines fighting this horrible disease. The doctors, the nurses, the EMS and EMT workers, the firefighters, the police, the physical therapists, the nursing home caretakers, the respirators, and everyone who is being affected by the virus itself. So in the final analysis, it does come back to all of us. This pandemic can either unite or divide us, because at the core of this pandemic, it will be either a matter of faith, hope, and love, or a matter of fear, and the choice is always ours. But God's greatest gift, which is the gift that he's given to every human being, is the gift that we've already been employing so far. As far as I can see, we've been given our minds to research things, read, study. We have this time to reflect and pray with God and be with ourselves. We have this desire to live as a species, and through our science and through our faith together, we shall overcome this. Amen.